Here it's Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret. As many as 500 residents of Marinette County are getting access to nearly $10 million to pay for PFAS remediation. The state's Joint Finance Committee voted this week to release the funding that came from a June settlement with Tyco Fire Products in a lawsuit over PFAS contamination in the area. Local residents like Doug Oitzinger of Marinette told WPR they were happy to see that money released in a timely manner.
We're appreciative of everybody that was involved in making it go forward. You know, it's an election year, and there was no guarantee that the Joint Finance Committee was even going to meet.
The DNR held listening sessions in Marinette to determine how that money should be used. The majority of it is going toward providing safe drinking water to owners of private wells contaminated by PFAS. We're checking in on the latest developments in the state's ongoing battle with these so-called forever chemicals and what challenges still remain. WPR reporter Danielle Kading covers environmental issues. She's been following this story. Danny, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me on, Rob.
Danny, can you give us a brief overview of the lawsuit that was settled here between the state and Tyco that brought in this $10 million?
Yeah, sure. You know, 4 years ago, the Wisconsin Department of Justice sued Johnson Controls International and its subsidiary, Tyco Fire Products, over allegations they violated the state spills law. And the reason for that was that Tyco didn't notify the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources for years of PFAS contamination around its fire training facility in Marinette. But the company has said that they thought that that contamination was confined to their site.
How long have residents in the area been dealing with PFAS contamination and unsafe drinking water?
You know, that's not as clear. I mean, what we do know is that Tyco and the company's predecessor, Ansell, had been using firefighting foam that contained these chemicals since the 1960s until 2017 when the state was notified. So it's been almost a decade since residents became aware of it.
What have they been dealing with then on the ground? What has that meant for the daily lives of people with contaminated wells?
Yeah, over the years, you know, we've heard over and over again about how people have had to use bottled water or install in-home treatment systems. Tyco has helped with some of that, but not all, including in an expanded area around the company's facility.
What do we know about the breakdown of what some of that money will be used for?
Yeah, so that money will be used for installation of deep wells, the bulk of it anyway. And that's for, again, those residents in that larger area around Tyco's facility that the company wasn't required to address. And money will also go to testing, treatment, and blood serum testing for PFAS. And state health officials are budgeting for about 200 blood tests. And then some of that money will also go for a local liaison to work with residents.
For your reporting, Danny, you talked to some Marinette County residents about the money coming in from the settlement. Here's a listen to former Town of Peshtigo Board Chair Cindy Boyle.
Those folks in the expanded site investigation area definitely needed some additional support and resources. And so fortunately, the settlement dollars will be earmarked for our community and we'll be able to go to help those people.
Are local residents happy with the settlement money and the process of the turnaround time, or do they feel like more needs to be done?
Well, what I've been hearing is that they're happy about the quick turnaround with the funds in this case, but some have continued to say that they're unhappy with the amount and the terms of the settlement. Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call has said it's one of the largest deals handled, or it is the largest deal handled exclusively by the state, but residents thought there should be more money, and they wanted to see Tyco forced to handle the cost of wells testing and treatment in that larger area.
This is Marinette County. That's not the only community dealing with this kind of pollution. Earlier this year, Governor Evers signed a bipartisan compromise with the state legislature. It set the framework for spending over $100 million to address PFAS contamination. What is the status of that funding?
Well, we haven't seen that go out yet. Last I heard is that the DNR is working through the process of getting things ready for a community grant program and hoping to issue guidance so that communities can begin applying for those funds in late October.
Danny, thanks again for bringing us up to date.
Yeah, thank you, Rob.
That's WPR reporter Danielle Kading with us today to share the details of the state's Joint Finance Committee releasing close to $10 million for PFAS remediation in Marinette County. That stems from a lawsuit settlement with the company Tyco. Now we'll take a closer look at what that money could go toward, how the battle with PFAS continues in various parts of the state. Dave Strifling is an associate professor of law and director of the Marquette University Law School Water Law and Policy Initiative. Dave, welcome back to the show.
Good morning, Rob. Glad to be here again.
$10 million sounds like a lot of money. How far does that go when we're talking about cleaning up PFAS, providing safe drinking water alternatives and deeper wells, as we just heard, to residents in an affected community?
Time will tell, I think, is the only answer to that. As Danielle said, there certainly are some in the community who think it won't go far enough when you look at the rising costs and whether enough area is included in the settlement. And on the other side, Tyco probably thinks it was more than they wanted to pay. So the only thing we can do is wait to see how far that money will go.
Whether we're in Marinette County or elsewhere in the state, what is the process like when it comes to testing wells to see if they're contaminated, replacing them, or providing in-home remediation for PFAS-affected water?
Yeah, there are a few different routes that affected residents can take here. The first step, obviously, is to get the well sampled, and that can take some time, of course, but once that happens, they can opt for either installation of a deep well or a point of entry treatment system if they don't want to go through the trouble of having a well installed. So all in all, this is a process that could take months, if not longer.
How long does it take for that initial PFAS pollution to make its way into groundwater, into the sort of groundwater that people are relying on for their private wells?
Groundwater is sort of a mysterious beast, I think. It moves, obviously, much slower than surface water does. So in some areas, it can move very, very slowly, you know, feet per year. In other areas, it can move more quickly, depending on the particular conditions in the area. That's what makes it so difficult to really measure, because it's not intuitive in the way that surface water is. We can't just look at it. So it really requires a lot more study than some other parts of contamination like surface water.
We're focusing on Marinette County today because that's the latest settlement. There are so many communities around the state affected, other lawsuits. How common is a concern about PFAS pollution around the state?
I think it's something that's concerned throughout the state for all of our residents. And, you know, one of the really big things I think that this settlement illustrates is the importance of the courts and the law in governing these disputes. You know, we saw just last summer a dispute make its way all the way up to the Wisconsin Supreme Court. Question there was whether WDNR had to promulgate individual rules for individual PFAS contaminants under the spills law, which, as Danny reported, is the basis, the core of this dispute, this settlement. And if that case had had a different outcome, we wouldn't have seen this settlement at all. So I think that is going to be really critical for future disputes throughout the state.
That's an important point we've talked about before on the air, Dave. We say PFAS. Well, that's not one chemical. It's a class of chemicals with lots of subcategories and different chemicals. How difficult does that make it to try to regulate these?
Well, again, if that Supreme Court decision last summer had gone the other way, I think it would make it almost impossible, because, you know, what we've seen in Wisconsin is that to promulgate an administrative rule from beginning to end can take years, 2 to 3 years in some cases, once you go through that whole process. So if DNR had had to do that for each individual PFAS, and there, as you said, we're talking about potentially tens of thousands of chemicals, it would be pretty unworkable from an administrative standpoint.
This Marinette County settlement, do you see this as a one-off with very particular details, or could this be a model for other communities around the state?
Well, this is certainly the one everyone's been watching. As Attorney General Call said, this is kind of the biggest thing the state has ever done when it comes to environmental settlements with the state acting alone. So I'm not sure that there's anything this large immediately on the horizon. But when it comes to those smaller cases that we're going to see popping up, certainly the terms here could serve as something of a model that the state could adapt for smaller cases.
This whole conversation so far, Dave, is about PFAS chemicals that have entered the ground and the groundwater over the last years, over the last decades. How about now when it comes to new pollution? What kind of things have changed? Have things changed to where we're not going to be talking about pollutants that are going into the ground today, but what, 10 years from now?
Right. There are a couple of levels to that discussion. One is just focusing on PFAS. And certainly we're seeing some states across the country do different things when it comes to regulating PFAS, all the way up to banning them from incorporation in new products. And that's certainly one way to handle this. So, to the extent PFAS are still entering the waste stream, we're going to see these type of contamination episodes come up in different places from time to time. But the other aspect of this is all sorts of different emerging contaminants beyond PFAS, things that we don't even know about yet that we should be concerned about. And again, this can be a model for settlements related to those types of contaminants in the future. And that court case that I mentioned earlier is going to be really critical because even though it concerned PFAS, I don't think it's specific to PFAS. It's broad enough to cover those other types of chemicals and really gives DNR pretty broad authority over those emerging contaminants in the years to come.
Now, we've been talking about people here affected with private wells, a lot of people around the state. But of course, more people around the state have some kind of municipal system where the water is treated. What do we know about those communities, whether PFAS is being screened out of drinking water when it goes through that municipal system?
It's a concern everywhere. The difference is that those who are being served by municipal systems are going to have the protections of the Safe Drinking Water Act. And we're seeing at the federal level and filtering down to the state level, at least limits for a couple of the most common types of PFAS that are going to govern those systems. The issue with private wells is that they were not subject or are not subject to Safe Drinking Water Act protections. That's why it was so critical to protect those residents who rely on private wells. And as you said, that's a lot of people in Wisconsin to protect them by other means. And DNR is working on that too by promulgating a rule that will govern or set up standards for PFAS in groundwater. But that's not quite finished yet at this.
Dave, we'll leave it there. Thanks for joining us. That's Dave Strifling, Associate Professor of Law and Director of the Marquette University Law School Water Law and Policy Initiative, with us today to share what PFAS remediation efforts look like, what work still needs to be done to clean up these forever chemicals from drinking water in the state. We also heard from WPR reporter Danielle Kading about the $10 million in settlement funds released by the state's Joint Finance Committee for Marinette County.